नरसिंहं विशनं भद्रं नरसिंहं विशनं भद्रं मृत्युर्मृत्युर्नमाम्यहम्। So the meaning of this prayer is that I bow down to Lord Narasimhadev, who is very ferocious and his face is very fiery, and he is the great Mahavishnu. He is angry and roaring like a lion, and he is death personified, but yet he is very auspicious for the devotees. So with this prayer I seek the blessings of all the assemblers, Vaishnavas and guests. And all the previous acharyas, so that I can speak something on the glory of the Lord. So this, the appearance of Lord Narasimhadev is very important in the lives of devotees, especially because he removes all the obstacles on our spiritual path. He protects from all sides, as we sing in the Narasimha prayers for a devotee, and in general in this material world, especially in this Kali Yuga, where there is danger at every moment. So we definitely seek the blessings of Lord Narasimhadev for protection. Not simply for the bodily protection or the physical protection, because the devotees as such is never bothered in life or death, but for the protection of the sanctity of our consciousness. For the protection from the Lord, that we never fall down in Maya, and that we can engage in His service without even for a moment getting attracted to the sense gratification of this world. So with this, actually, even Srila Prabhupada, in the movement of response throughout the world, Srila Prabhupada actually established to sing the prayers of Narasimhadev after every aarti. And on each day there are six aartis, so which means that the devotees are praying and chanting the names of Lord Narasimhadev for protection six times a day. So Prabhupada actually made it very clear that without the mercy of the Lord Narasimhadev, our spiritual life is in danger. So he removed the obstacles. And very importantly is that he is always there for a sincere devotee, as we find in the bhajans of Prahlad Maharaj. So the bhajan that we are going to narrate, it actually teaches us of how to see God everywhere, at every time, at every moment, under every circumstance. So this is a very great lesson for us to learn from the episode that is given in Bhagavatam. Now there are various parsons of the Lord, because He appears in every Yuga, in every different millenniums. So in different Puranas we do find the advent of Lord Narasimhadev in different ways, at different times. The Brahma Vaivarta Puran, the Narasimha Puran describes in great details of different advents of the Lord. But one of the most important advent of Lord Narasimhadev is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now it's a very long pastime, because if you read in Srimad Bhagavatam, it covers practically the whole of 7th canto. It starts from 7th canto, chapter 1, and ends practically by chapter 10. So there's a few hundreds of verses actually. Of course, obviously it's not possible for us to cover in a short time. But what I would like to do is, I would like to be more focused on the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. Because it is only because of Prahlad Maharaj and his character and his quality that the Lord appeared. So as devotees, it is very important for us to imbibe those principles and to follow them in our own lives as far as possible. So the narration, most of them must be knowing, that it starts with Maharaj Parikshit asking Sukadeva Goswami that we hear that the Lord is impartial and is equal to all. But again and again we find that Lord always takes the side of Indra or the demigods and fights against demons and even annihilates them. So is this equanimity? Is this equality? Please explain. So Sukadeva Goswami of course phrases this question and then he goes on to refer to the discussion that happens between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narada Muni. Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Narada Muni that after the Rajasuri Yajna, I personally saw Shishupal when he was severed by the Sudarshan Chakra, his soul merged in the body of Krishna. Now Shishupal was so envious. He was envious, number one, because right from his birth he started blaspheming Krishna. And why is it so that even King Vena, he was envious, but after his death he went to hell? Please explain. So Narada Muni says, I'll be very short because we don't have time to go into very deep conversations, but in essence Narada Muni says that Shishupal, even though he was envious of the Lord, he remembered the Lord every moment. In fact, Narada Muni says that I wish I could remember the Lord with that intensity as Shishupal did. But Shishupal is remembered in the mood of envy. And so Narada Muni goes on to say that there are six prasadas. Like Shishupal remembers the Lord in the mood of envy. Kamsa remembers the Lord in fear. The gopis remember the Lord in spiritual passion. Then we, the devotees, or rather the Pandavas, you remember the Lord out of affection. And the Yadus, they remember the Lord out of familiar relationships. And we, the devotees, we try to remember the Lord by executing the devotional service in the nine processes. So, the essence is that if, in whatever way, if one is able to remember Krishna at every moment, he gets glorified. But King Vena, even though he was envious, he did not remember Krishna. So therefore, after his death, he went to hell. And then Narada Muni goes on to say that actually Shishupal and Dandavakra were the associates of the Lord in Vaikuntha. But because of the curse given by the four Kumaras, they took birth in this mortal world three times. The first time they appeared as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, who were claimed by the Lord in the form of Varade and Narasimhadeva. Why? Because Hiranyakashipu was offensive to his own son. He wanted to murder his own son. And then in the next yuga, they appeared as Ravana and Kamsa. Ravana and Kumkara. And then they appeared as Shishupal and Dandavakra. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj asked that how is it, like in general we find that the son is always dear to a father, how is it that Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill his own son? Can you please explain? So then Narada Muni goes on to say about Hiranyakashipu and the pastime that it took then. He said that once when Hiranyakashipu was slain by the Lord Varadeva, Hiranyakashipu was very angry. And he vowed that it is Vishnu who has killed my brother and coming under the influence of Maya and therefore taking the side of Indra and killing my brother. So I vow that I will kill Vishnu, sever his head and drink his blood to appease my brother's death, because Hiranyaksha loves drinking blood. So he taking his vow, he then went on to do a great tapasya. Tapasya which has not ever been seen before or not ever been heard by anyone doing before. He stood on his two toes upright with his both hands raised to the sky, and he stood without moving an inch. No food, no drink, nothing, no sleep. He stood there for 100 celestial years. That's a very long time. So it was a great determination to do this tapasya in order to get the benediction, in order to get the benediction of the powers. And in doing so, what happened is the ants in the forest, they made an anthill around his body. And in due course of time, they actually ate away his every morsel of his body and drank every drop of his blood. But Hiranyakashipu didn't move. Because of his great determination, he was able to hold his consciousness within the bones of his skeleton. That was his determination. And because of his tapasya, flames emanated from his head to such an extent that even the demigods in the upper planetary system, they were feeling the heat. And in fact, the Bhagavatam is explained that they were so afflicted by his tapasya that they actually had to go and plead to Lord Brahma to please go and check to the Hiranyakashipu. And when they visited Brahma, it is said in the Bhagavatam that all their faces were black because of the smoke emanating from Hiranyakashipu's tapasya. So anyway, Brahmaji went and he saw, and when he saw Hiranyakashipu in this way, he was amazed to see, because he had never seen such a tapasya before. And he sprinkled some water out of his kamandalu, which rejuvenated Hiranyakashipu's body. He became youth, lustrous, and very powerful. And then Hiranyakashipu came out of the anthill, gave obeisances to Lord Brahma, as if he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he praised with prayers. Then Brahmaji gave him the benediction, and we all know what he wanted. He wanted immortality, which is of course not possible for anyone. But he tried. He tried in many ways. He said that, give me a boon that I will never be killed by any being created by you, by any man or animal, in day or night, within, without, within or outside the house, with any weapons. And he goes on the list, trying to cover each and every loophole so that he becomes immortal. And he wanted to do, for what he wanted his benediction, so that he could control over the universe. That was his motive. But devotees do some tapasya, their motive is to satisfy the Lord. But when the demons do some tapasya, their motive is to satisfy their own senses, to satisfy their own desires. So, after having attained this benediction, Hiranyakashipu's pride knew no bounds. He attacked everywhere, all around the three planets, and to such an extent that the demigods had to flee around. He captured Indra's loka, and the demigods then had to come and bow down before him. He conquered everyone except the planets of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. So all the demigods became his subordinates. It is said in the Bhagavatam that he was so powerful that the Mother Earth, she started giving crops at all times without even plowing it. The seas and the oceans brought the best of the jewels to Hiranyakashipu to offer, without even anyone going to find it. And then the demigods, they would come and they would become his servants. They would bow down before him, and Hiranyakashipu would severely chastise them just to make sure that they understand he is their master. So this was the atrocities he was doing. Obviously there were no sacrifices going on. All the brahmanas were killed, all the cows were killed, all the gaushalas were killed. There were no religious principles going around, because he wanted, in fact, to change the whole mechanism of the system. His idea was that one who does pious activities, they should go to hell. And all those who do impious activities, they should go to heaven. That was his idea. That was his motive. So he terrorized the whole planet, everywhere. And therefore, the demigods had no other way but to go and pray to Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu gives them this wonderful instruction that you must pray to you will execute devotional service and chant of my holy names and remember me constantly, as that will bring you real happiness. As far as the Hiranyakashipu is concerned, because he will make offenses to Vaishnavas and in particular to his own son, I will appear and descend and kill him. So having got this confirmation, the demigods were already pacified, but of course they had to still undergo the atrocities of Hiranyakashipu. So then Narada goes on to explain the qualities of Prahlad. Narada says that Hiranyakashipu had four sons, and out of which Prahlad was the best. He was most gentle, kind to all living entities, respectful to everyone. To his brothers, he was very compassionate. To the elderly and to the teacher and to the spiritual master, he would respect them as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was most compassionate. And he was completely immersed in constantly remembering his lordship. So then Yudhishthira Maharaja asked that because Prahlada was so gentle and humble, then why is it so that Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill him? So then Narada explained that Prahlada went to the school, and it was not an ordinary school. It was a school in the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu. So we can imagine what type of teachings must be going on. And who were the teachers? The teachers were the seminal sons of Shukracharya, Sanjaya Namarka. So they would teach all sorts of arts of politics, like how to make friends and exploit them, how to destroy your enemies, and things like that. Obviously, Prahlad Maharaj was pained by all these, and he was just uninterested in these matters. But at the same time, he was so polite and respectful to everyone and to his teachers that Sanjaya Namarka and were under the impression that Prahlad has learned all these teachings very nicely. So one day, in order to get the favor of Hiranyakashipu, they presented Prahlad to Hiranyakashipu. They brought to this palace and presented him. Hiranyakashipu, when he saw his child, was at that time just 5 years old, he became very affectionate. Obviously, when we see around the world, children who are at that age, everything they do is so pleasing. So, his heart melted upon seeing Prahlad, and he put Prahlad on his lap while he was sitting on the throne. And he affectionately embraced him, smelled his head, kissed him, and he said, "Oh Prahlad, how dear you are to me. Can you tell me, you are going to school now for some time, can you tell me what is the best thing that you have learned?" So Prahlad Maharaj says, Sri Prahlad was, Tatsadu manye survarya dehinam sadasam udvigna dhirama sagraha hitvatma patam indrahamanda tupam vanamdato yadharimashayeta. Sri Prahlad Maharaj said, "O best of the Asuras, O king of the demons," flattering his own father, "as far as I have learned from my spiritual masters, any person who has accepted a temporary body and a temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety. Why? Because of having fallen in the dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One must give up such a position and go to the forest. More clearly, one must go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness prevails. And thus one should take shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari." Obviously, what do we think? Hiranyakashipu must be very happy. He was outraged. He said that the intelligence of my child has been spoiled by our enemies. He looked at Sanjaya Namarka with anger and he said, "Take him back and make sure that he is protected from the influence of Vaishnavas. So Sandhya Namrata August didn't expect this to come out of it. So they took back Prahlad Maharaj to the school. And then they said to Prahlad, oh most virtuous, oh best of the sons of Asuras, can you tell us from where did you learn that? So then Prahlad replied, that this ignorance that you are teaching of friend and enemy is all an illusion. The Supreme Personality of God as Vishnu is situated in the heart of every living being as Paramatma, and therefore one must respect every living entity. And that will bring about real happiness, and that is truth. As far as I am concerned, just as the magnetic particle gets attracted to the magnet, I am naturally attracted to the devotional service of Lord Vishnu. When Sandhya Namrata heard this, they were raged with anger. They shouted, bring my stick to beat him. They threatened Prahlad Maharaj, and then they said that your intelligence has been spoiled by the enemies. Just as in a beautiful fragrant forest of sandalwood, there is one palm tree which becomes the handle to cut all these beautiful sandalwood trees. Similarly, Vishnu is the axe and you are the handle. And if you are not corrected, you will bring about the devastation of the entire dynasty. So now you sit and listen and learn from us nicely. So Prahlad Maharaj is very polite and humble. He sat down and he learned the lessons in his classes. Again, he was so humble and respectful that after some time, Sandhya Namrata thought Prahlad to be the best student. So after some time, again, to show their accomplishment, they took Prahlad, they wanted to present Prahlad to Hiranyakashipu. So first they took to his mother, Kayadu, who decorated him very nicely with ornaments and jewelry, and then they brought Prahlad to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, again seeing his tiny little child, his affectionate grew, and his heart melted. He took Prahlad on his lap, and again embraced him with his strong arms, and tears flowing from his eyes out of affection. He spoke, O Prahlad, you are so dear to me. You have been going to school for some time. Can you tell me what is the best of knowledge? So Prahlad Maharaj replied, Sri Prahlad Vajan, Sarvam Kesanam Vishnam Smaranam Padasevanam Arjunam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam Iti Pumsharpita Vishnam Bhasishtena Vanakshana Kriyeta Bhagavati Yadha Tanmanye Ditama Uttamam. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship, the 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving him with body, mind and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. So that is what Prahlad Maharaj said, what is perfect knowledge? One who has dedicated his life in devotional service following these 9 processes. When Hiranyakashipu heard this, he was angry. He was so angry that rather than explaining, he was hissing like a snake. He said, he looked at Sandhya Namrata and he said, you have spoiled my child's life. You are teaching him the philosophy of our enemies. You appear to be Brahmana and teacher in my school. but you have deceived me, you must be punished. Sandhana Marka replied, O king of the demons, O enemy of Indra, do not speak like this. We have not taught him these things. These things are naturally coming up as he is naturally attracted to the devotional service of Lord Vishnu. We have not taught him these things. And you must remember, we are the sons of Shukracharya, so you must not make any offenses to us. So Hiranyakashipu, having heard this, he looked at Prahlad and he said, O Prahlad, tell me, if your teachers have not taught you these things, then from where have you learned these things? Prahlad Maharaj replied, Matiya Krishna Parato Satova Mito Apipasyate Graha Vritanam Adanta Kobe Vishatanta Mishram Puna Puna Sarvitar Karvananam. Prahlad Maharaj replied, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused, either by the instruction of others or by their own efforts or by the combination of both. Prabhupada says in one of the lectures that actually Prahlad Maharaj, by saying this, he is telling Hiranyakashipu that you don't worry, you will never become Krishna conscious. So here he is saying that because those who are having uncontrolled senses, they can never achieve devotional service. And then he continues to say, Nati vidus vartagatim hi vishnum durashaya ye bahirartha manina andaya samya rupaniyamana seti satantriyam rudami baddha. He continues, persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who are therefore accepted as their leader or guru, a similar blind man attached to external sense objects cannot understand the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men, guided by another blind man, miss the right path and fall into a ditch. Materially attached men, led by another materially attached man, are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. Then Prahlad Maharaj continues. He says, so which means that one who is completely attached to materialistic life, is it that he can never become a devotee of the Lord? No. Prahlad Maharaj, in the next verse, he says how you can become a devotee of the Lord. He says, Naishamati stavat uru pramagrim sprishati anartha pagamo yadartha mahiyasam padrajo visekam nishkinchananam navrinita yavat. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined towards materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way, one can be freed from material contamination. So Prahlad Maharaj is telling Hiranyakashipu that unless you smear upon your body, in fact, the meaning of Abhishekam is actually taking bath. So unless you bathe yourself with the dust of a pure Vaishnava, you cannot achieve devotional service and the mercy of the Lord. In other words, if we want to achieve devotional service, we must be ready to accept ourselves as menial servants for the great devotees of the Lord. So when Hiranyakashipu heard this, his anger knew no bounds. So in this way, when Prahlad Maharaj spoke these words of wisdom to his father, he shouted. He shouted, Prahlad, O Prahlad, you are the killer of my brother Hiranyaksha. You must be killed. Just as a medicinal herb, he gives a very nice analogy. Just as a medicinal herb, even though it is not of the same familiar relationship as a human being, but because it is beneficial to one, he will take great care of that medicinal herb. But if one's relative is an envious enemy, he must be killed. Or, he gives another analogy. Or just like one of the limbs of the body has caught with a contagious disease, then it must be amputated before it causes the disease to spread over the entire body and kills it. So Prahlad, even though you are my own son, you must die. He calls out for the Rakshasas. Rakshasas, take him away and kill him by any means. He must die. Now these Rakshasas, who are very personal associates of Hiranyakashipu, they are not any ordinary beings. They were gigantic, huge, man-eating demons. So they picked up Prahlad, and the first thing they did was that they started taking their huge pointed tridents and swords, and with a great strength, they started to pierce the body of Prahlad. Prahlad Maharaj was sat in complete peacefulness, without any fear, remembering the holy names of the Lord. Putting his consciousness completely on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. He did not bother about life or death. His only concern was to not forget Krishna, even for a moment. And the Lord, he protected Prahlad so miraculously. Even though these huge Rakshasas were with a mighty strength, they were trying to pierce the body of Prahlad, they could not even harm even an inch to the childlike soft flesh of Prahlad. Then they actually called for the elephants. These were wild elephants to trample upon little Prahlad. Now, these elephants, they were not ordinary. They were used to kill people. And they brought these elephants in front of Prahlad. And Prahlad, without any fear, he was constantly remembering the Lord. Now, Krishna is also in the heart of every living entity, so they are also in the heart of those elephants. The elephants, out of affection for Prahlad, instead of stamping him under their feet, they actually lifted him up and put him on their head. So they were unsuccessful. Then they cast Prahlad into the depth of the ocean and put a huge mountain to cover it. Again Prahlad was constantly immersed in remembering his Lord. And the Lord miraculously came, lifted the mountain and put back Prahlad to safety. Then they tried to throw Prahlad from the top of the mountain. The Lord again protected. He caught Prahlad and brought him to safety. Then they threw Prahlad into a pit of venomous, deadly, poisonous snakes. Prahlad, again remembering his Lord without any fear, he was unaffected by the snakes. The snakes were so affectionate, obviously because again Krishna is within the high heart. Then Hiranyakashipu ordered his own sister, Holika, because she was given a benediction that she can never be burned. So he ordered to take Prahlad on her lap and sit in the blazing fire. Holika sat with Prahlad in the blazing fire for hours and hours and hours until Holika burned to ashes. And Prahlad Maharaj was not even afflicted a tinge with the blazing fire, and he came out of the fire. Then they started shooting mystic spells with yantras and tantras and mantras. But Prahlad Maharaj was remembering the Lord and chanting his holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
He was not even affected by even a tinge of these mystic spells. Then they starved for God. No food, no water. But just by remembering the Lord, he was completely nourished. Today is fasting, and most of us would have done nature, or at least with water, and we find it so difficult. We are waiting for the time to break fast. And Prahlad was just a 5-year-old boy. He was just remembering the Lord constantly without any deviation. Then they subjected Prahlad to severe heat and cold, but the Lord kept Prahlad warm and cool. Prahlad could not be destroyed. Hiranyakashipu was going mad. He was going crazy because he could not kill his son. He thought to himself that I cannot kill Prahlad. He has unlimited potency. If I don't kill him, then I will be killed because of my offenses. Or maybe I will not be killed. So like this, he went completely mad. Why? Because he always controlled everything. That was his characteristic. He wanted to control everything, and now, because he was not able to control his own son, he was going mad. That's how the materialistic people behave sometimes. So he actually lost all his luster, and he was so morose. He looked to the ground and he was lamenting, and he was so sad. Then Sanjay Namartha, they came to Hiranyakashipu and said that, "Oh Hiranyakashipu, why are you so disturbed by this little 5-year-old child? What harm can he do to you anyway? He is just a mixed up little bit. Let us take him back to the school and train him nicely. Just give us some more time." Hiranyakashipu did not have a choice. They said, "All right, take him back to school." So Sanjay Namartha, they brought Prahlad back to school. Then in the school, when Prahlad was obviously a very different personality, so when there was a time for break, all the children in the class, they were about to go to play. But somehow they were attracted to Prahlad because he was so, we find this, you know, when there's a pure devotee, automatically we get some attraction. So they were attracted to Prahlad, and they were also astonished that how come Prahlad is not interested in playing with us. So they went to Prahlad and asked. Prahlad replied, he spoke to his classmates, "Tamara acharyeshwarnyo dharman bhagatanha durlabham manasim janma tadapi udravam arthakam." Prahlad Maharaj said, "One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life. That is, in other words, from the tender age of childhood. To practice the activity of devotional service, giving up all other engagements, the human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary, like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection." So in other words, he told to his classmates that you are so young. You should use this time to develop Krishna consciousness. Do not think that because you are so young, you can waste your time. The general lifespan of a human being is 100 years. And for a person who is attached to material enjoyments and having uncontrolled mind and senses, he practically sleeps 12 hours a day, which means 50 years of one's life is wasted in sleep. Prabhupada explained in purport that even if 50 years are not wasted, even if someone doesn't sleep that long, at least 30 years is wasted in sleep. So when, in the beginning of the life, Prahlad Maharaj explained that the first 10 years of the child passes by in utter bewilderment. He doesn't know what is what. The next 10 years, it just passes by in different types of play and sport and mundane education. So the first 20 years are just wasted. And when one is very old, the last 20 years is wasted because of invalidity. And then he explains the remaining portion of such a person who has uncontrolled mind and senses is immersed in the attachment of one's family members, in the moon of lust and illusion. And then he says, in order to maintain this lust and illusion, he has to get money. He is bound by the ropes of material entanglement, and for such a person, Prahlada says, money is sweeter than honey. He will do anything and everything to get money. His entire life is focused around getting money. Even though he wastes this valuable human life, he will make sure that he does not waste a single penny. So that is the characteristics of how a person spends, a material person spends his entire life. Although such a person wastes his entire life, which is so valuable, he repeatedly endeavors for such things again and again, and he does not even develop his taste for such a life. Such an unfortunate condition. He becomes like a plaything in the hands of the opposite sex. In his material illusion, trying to perpetually enjoy, he surrounds himself with children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, shackled by the ropes, trying to enjoy again and again in this environment. He tells his classmates, "My dear friends, stay away from these fallen materialistic people. Take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as your only goal of life. For one who takes shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, there is no impediment to spiritual advancement. It does not make any difference whether one is old, young, man, woman, whatever color, caste, creed. If one sincerely takes shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, he will surely receive his mercy. The Supreme God is all merciful. He is the well-wisher of all living entities." My dear friends, perform your activities just with the single purpose of satisfying Krishna. These words, in fact, Lord, Artha, Dharma, Kama and Moksha, these religious principles are all external. Only surrender to Krishna is the only transcendental process that will bring about relief from the material miseries. Through this transcendental process, love will awaken in your heart. Krishna originally spoke with knowledge, which I am telling you now. And this knowledge has descended in the disciplic parampara, and Narad Muni spoke this knowledge to me. So the classmates, they asked, "Who is this Narad Muni and where did you meet him? We are all staying in the same environment and all we have is the association of the Rakshasas. We are so protected and isolated from everybody else that there is no way that we can associate with any outsider or even any Vaishnava. So can you please explain that how and where did you meet this Narad Muni?" So then Prahlada Maharaj explains that when his father Hiranyakashipu went to perform tapasya to the Mandarachal mountain, the demigods headed by Indra, they defeated the demons and plundered Hiranyakashipu's palace. Then they captured Hiranyakashipu's wife and they were taking her away to their abode. On the way, Narad Muni met them and said, "Why are you inflicting such pains to this woman, which is against the religious principles?" So then Indra and the demigod said that, "We will not cause any harm to this woman. But within his womb is the seed of Hiranyakashipu. Once a child is born, they will kill him. So obviously at that time there was no abortion, which is in Kali Yuga today. Unfortunately, seeing the mother killing her own son. Anyway, so then, Narada said that this child is the pure devotee of the Lord. He is not a demon. You will not be able to kill him. So the Indra and all the demigods, having faith in the words of Narada Muni, they immediately released Kayadu. And not only that, they actually paid obeisances to the soul in the womb and they circumambulated the womb. Then Narada Muni took blood mother Kayadu to her, to his own ashram to protect her. And because Kayadu was so grateful to Narada Muni because of having saved her life and his son, she rendered menial service to Narada Muni. And in the due course of time, Narada Muni actually instructed her to, in the sacred principles of Bhagavad Dharma. And by the blessings of Narada Muni, Prahlad, within the womb of his mother, he was able to hear and imbibe his instructions. And so he said to his classmates that when my father came back and my mother went back to the palace, because of his association, she forgot everything that Narada Muni spoke. But by the mercy and the blessings of my spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni, I am able to remember each and every word that he spoke. Then he says that just like a geologist who is expert in knowing where to find gold in the various parts of earth, a wise person always seeks to see the soul within every living entity. The soul within is the real self. He is the real enjoyer. He is the real source of life. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. These gross and subtle elements, the three modes of material nature, the 16 transformations, is all witnessed by the soul. In the material world, the soul has three transformations or three states. Wakefulness, dreaming states and deep sleep. And who is the overseer of these states? The Super Soul. Vishnu as the Super Soul or as Paramatma is the heart of every living entity. He oversees these states. Now we are in a dreaming state. Prahlada tells his classmates. Why? Because the soul is in the impression that he is this body and he is this enjoyer. So therefore, this is the dream state. But however, we must know that the Paramatma sitting in every living entity, in the heart of every living entity, he is the overseer and the witness of all the activities of the soul. My dear friends, the only goal of life is to know this Super Soul, is to understand the relationship between the soul and the Super Soul. Accept, you must accept the bona fide spiritual master, render menial service to him, inquire submissively from him, and in the association of devotees, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Having spoken this, the classmates were completely convinced of the wisdom of instructions that Prahlada has given. And then when Sandana Marka returns to the class, what did he find? He finds an entire class of pure Vaishnavas. They were outraged. They were outraged. They picked up Prahlada abruptly and immediately brought to the throne of Hiranyakashipu. And they narrated the entire thing to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, in a thunderous voice, he was so angry. He was hissing like a snake as if it is just trampled by somebody's foot. And in a thunderous voice, he spoke to Prahlada. He chastised Prahlada. He said, "You are the most impudent. You are a fool. You are a rascal. You are the lowest of the lowest caste.
You have violated my power to overrule you. My dear, he said, that from which power a rascal like you is able to overrule me?
Prahlad said,
while he was so outraged, Bhagavan explains, Prahlad Maharaj was standing so peaceful and calm with his folded hands, offering respect to his father, and that made Hiranyakashipu even more angry. That's what happens. No, but somebody is so angry, he doesn't know what he is doing, what he is speaking, what action he is performing. But when he feels that the person with whom he is angry, if he is more calm and cool, he becomes even more angry. So Hiranyakashipu was so angry, he was getting like boiling hot. And then Prahlad Maharaj speaks, that, oh my dear father, all power, your power, my power, comes from the same source. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, he is the controller of everything. He is the controller of the three modes of material nature. He is the controller of time. He is the creator, maintainer, and inheritor of everything that exists. All power comes from him alone. Then he says something very wonderful. He says that, my dear father, your only problem is because of your uncontrolled mind and senses. If you learn to see things equally, you will be able to perfectly worship Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu, when Prahlad said this, he exploded. He said, you rascal, you are speaking as if you are my superior. You are taking my position of my superior. Today, I will sever your head. You will die in my own hands. You are speaking like a man who is about to die. At this time, Hiranyakashipu picks up his sword and charged towards Prahlad. He said, that, oh Prahlad, you talk about your God. Where is your God? Is he in this pillar? Prahlad smiled again. He was very calm. And he said, my dear father, my Lord is everywhere. He is also within this pillar. Hiranyakashipu, he was outraged and angry. He charged towards Prahlad, and on his way, with great anger, he smashed with his feet on that pillar. And as soon as he did that, what happened? A thunderous, shrilling, loud sound came from that pillar. It was so loud, Bhagavan explained, that everybody was shocked and astonished. They had never heard such sound before. They started looking here and there, not knowing from where the sound is coming. And then, just to prove the words of the Lord's pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, because he said that the Lord is in the pillar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead emerged out from within the pillar in the most wonderful form. Shri Narasimhadeva Bhagavan Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appeared in a half-man, half-lion form. He was so angry and ferocious, he roared so loudly that it caused fear in the hearts of everyone. It is explained in Bhagavatam that Hiranyakashipu looked at this form and he had never seen such a thing before. He studied this form and Bhagavatam explains the wonderful, beautiful form of the Lord. It says his eyes were like molten gold. His teeth were deadly. His ears were erect like a mountain. His gaping mouth was like mountain caves. His hairs were white like moonshine. His neck was short. His chest was broad. His waist thin. and he has thousands of arms holding various weapons. His roar was so loud that it caused fear in the hearts of the elephants throughout the world. His breathing was so heavy that it agitated the seas and the oceans. And the pressure of his lotus feet was so heavy that the Mother Earth became imbalanced, and hills and mountains started springing out from the earth. So that was the Ugra Narsingha form, the ferocious, as soon as he comes out of the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu studied this form, and then he thought to himself, this is Vishnu, who has come to kill me. But then he thought, of what use? I cannot be killed. I cannot be defeated. I will kill Vishnu today. And then he took his club and charged to this beautiful form of Lord Narsingadev. And Bhagavatam explained that the effulgence of Lord Narsingadev was so great that it actually stole the illusion in the sky. And it explained that when Hiranyakashipu charged towards Lord Narsingadev to hit with his club, he was not even seen because of the effulgence of the Lord. And then Bhagavatam explained, just like an enthusiastic fly or insect rushes into the blazing fire to die. And Hiranyakashipu started beating Lord Narsingadev with his club again and again. And then Lord Narsingadev captured him with his lotus hands. For a moment, Hiranyakashipu could not even move. And then, all of a sudden, Lord Narsingadev released him. And just like Bhagavatam explained, that just like a Garuda who captures a venomous snake and then releases it, to play with him, basically. But Hiranyakashipu, he thought, that I am more powerful. Lord Narsingadev cannot contain me. He will be defeated. This is the inconceivable illusion that sometimes we undergo. Even though we can obviously see things, but we can't see it. Therefore, Prabhupada actually named Bhagavad Gita not just Bhagavad Gita, but Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because unless we are a pure devotee, you cannot see things as it is. So that was the condition of Hiranyakashipu. Even though he was seeing his death personified in front of him, he was still thinking that, I'm going to kill Lord Narsingadev. So then he took some moments, and then he took up his sword and shield again to attack Lord Narsingadev. At that time, Lord Narsingadev laughed. He laughed so loud, he was thrilled with laughter. And this laughter was so mysterious that Hiranyakashipu became so afraid that he started moving here and there, all around, just so that to make sure that Lord Narsingadev doesn't attack him. And he attacked the Lord first. And then Narsingadev, Hiranyakashipu took his sword and started attacking Lord Narsingadev. But then, just at the right time, at the time of dusk, Lord Narsingadev captured Hiranyakashipu with his lotus hands, placed him on his lap, and with his beautiful pointed lotus nails, he pierced the body of Hiranyakashipu into pieces. Shri Narsingadev Bhagwan Ki Tava Kara Kamala Vare Nathan Akunda Shringa Narasimhadev was so angry at this point of time that he was so frightened to look at it. As he pierced the body of Hiranyakashipu, blood sprinkled on the wonderful form of Lord Narasimhadev. With his beautiful lotus hand, he uprooted the heart of Hiranyakashipu. And then he decorated himself with the intestine of Hiranyakashipu as his garland. And then, just like a piece of dirt, he threw him away onto the ground. And then Lord Narasimhadev, with great anger, he looked at the thousands of Rakshasas which were ready to attack him. But the Lord, with his pointed lotus hand, he pierced everyone and killed all of them. But yet, the Lord was very angry. He sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu in this Ugra Narasimha form. And it is said in the Bhagavatam that the form was so ferocious and so angry that everyone was afraid to approach him. It is said that the wives of the denizens of the heavenly planet, they showered flowers from a distance. Even the great sages and the rishis, they chanted beautiful, excellent prayers in the praise of the Lord, but from a distance. Lord Brahmaji prayed, said, "Oh my Lord, you are the creator, the maintainer, and the annihilator. And now you have appeared in this most wonderful form to kill Hiranyakashipu." Lord Shiva, he prayed, said, "Oh my Lord, this anger is only shown at the time of the annihilation of the cosmic creation. Now Hiranyakashipu is dead, but Prahlad is standing just beside you with folded hands. Please be pacified and give your mercy to him." The denizens of the heavenly planet, like the Pitraloka, they are beautiful prayers, trying to pacify the Lord, but the Lord was not pacified. Then Brahmaji approached Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi said, when she looked at this form of his husband, she said that, "I have never seen him in this mood. I dare not approach him." She was so afraid. And then, therefore, Lord Brahma, he approaches Prahlad Maharaj, little Prahlad, and tells him that the Lord is angry because of the offenses that Hiranyakashipu has afflicted to you. So you, O Prahlad, please go and pacify and try to pacify the Lord. Prahlad very gravely and humbly, he approached the Lord and he paid obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. When Lord Narasimhadev saw this tiny little child, his heart melted and his anger was pacified. He placed his lotus palm on the head of little Prahlad and immediately Prahlad became completely purified. Prahlad then says wonderful prayer in praise of the Lord. He says, but before even he says that, just imagine at this particular point, I would like to pray, and then I would say, imagine if you were at that position, and you would see that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, all the 33 crores of demigods, they cannot pacify the Lord. And now I am going to pacify the Lord. Such a pride. But look at Prahlad Maharaj, the first prayer that he speaks to Lord Narasimhadev, with utmost humility, he says, that how is it possible for me to pacify you, my Lord? I am coming from an atheistic family of demons. I have no good qualities. I am attached to the materialistic life. Even Lord Brahma, Shiva, the great rishis and muni, they could not pacify you with their excellently composed prayers. What am I, a small, insignificant being, would be able to offer prayers to pacify you? But my Lord, no material opulences can ever attract your mercy. Even if a person has all opulences, all power, all knowledge, he cannot attract your mercy unless he has pure, sincere devotion. Just like the danger of the elephant,
What did he have? But just because he prayed to you with utmost sincere devotion, he achieved your faultless mercy. If a Brahmana may have all the 12 qualities of a Brahmana, but if he does not have devotion unto you, he cannot please you. But if a dog eater of the lowest class, if he prays to you with sincere devotion, he can please you. The Lord accepts the offering of his devotee just to benefit the devotee. Now you have appeared in this most angry form, my Lord. But now, please be kind and give up this anger because Hiranyakashipu is dead. It is said that the great sages and the rishis, they take pleasure in witnessing the killing of a snake or a scorpion. Now, this venomous serpent like Hiranyakashipu is dead and the entire world is jubilant. So please, my Lord, be pacified. In this material world, due to forgetfulness of you, there are so many miseries. But foolish persons entangled by the three modes of material nature, they create remedies for these material miseries. But however, their remedies are more miserable than the original misery itself. That is the way how, my Lord, you have created this world. Thus, I understand that the only remedy for the material misery is to take shelter at your lotus feet. People want a very long duration of life, or opulence, wealth to enjoy. But I have learned through the experience of my father Hiranyakashipu, who was so powerful, so opulent, that just when he would raise his one eyebrow, the greatest of the demigods would bow down at his feet in great fear. He controlled the entire universe, but of what is the use? He was just vanquished by you in a moment. So therefore, I have seen that any arrangement in this material world will only end in devastation. If one does not take shelter of your lotus feet, this is the lesson that I have learned from my own father, Hiranyakashipu. Then Prahlada says, "Oh my Lord, I am not afraid of this material existence. Why? Because I am always immersed in remembering you and chanting your holy names. My only concern is for the fools and rascals of this world who are making plans after plans after plans, trying to enjoy this material existence and have to suffer birth after birth after birth. By these sweet and loving prayers of Prahlad, Lord Narasimhadev's heart melted. Lord Narasimhadev spoke that it is my pastime that to such a devotee as you, Prahlad, who has given up your life fearlessly to remember me in all circumstances and all times to give benedictions. So, O Prahlad, you ask for any benediction. I can give you long life or I can give you anything that you desire." But Prahlad Maharaj, out of his utter humility, he was actually embarrassed when the Lord said this. Why? Because he considered any kind of material opulence to be an impediment in performing his devotional service to the Lord. He spoke to the Lord that, "Oh my Lord, I am coming from a demoniac atheistic family and therefore I have the tendency to enjoy these material things. So please, my Lord, do not tempt me by giving this benediction. I am your devotee, your servant, and whatever worship I do, it is only for your pleasure. A servant, he only desires to serve for more service for his master. That is a true servant. And you are my eternal master. So please, if you do want to give me a benediction, then kindly give me this one benediction. And please be careful in what Prahlada Maharaj is asking for. It's very important for us as devotees to know this." He asked Lord Narasimhadev, that, "Oh my Lord, please give me this benediction that within the core of my heart, I will never have a tinge of material desire. That is the prayer that Prahlada is asking. And then, when Lord Narasimhadev heard this beautiful prayer, his heart melted, and he said that, O Prahlada, devotees like you have never any material desires. Because you are constantly remembering and chanting my holy names. But now I order you to sit on the throne of the kingdom of Asuras and rule this kingdom for the entire duration of the present one. So having got this order from Lord Narasimhadev, Prahlada Maharaj folded his hands and he obeyed his instructions. But then he said, O my Lord, you are all merciful. I would like to ask for just one more benediction. My father, Hiranyakashipu, was such a malicious demon. He did so many sinful activities against your devotee. He blasphemed you, but finally be merciful to him and excuse him. Lord Narasimhadev spoke. So this is a quality of a devotee. He does not take any offense, but instead of that, he actually wishes for the ultimate best of even his enemy, who was trying to kill him. So then Lord Narasimhadev said, O Prahlad, your father Hiranyakashipu has already been purified. Not only he alone, but 21 generations of your forefathers have been purified and they are liberated. And Prabhupada mentions this specifically in the purport, that therefore, now when we say 21 forefathers, that means the fathers and mothers and the relatives in this life, in your previous life you may have some different kind of a body. So those fathers and mothers and the relatives, likewise, 21 forefathers. So you can imagine it's practically maybe a million of people. But they get liberated. So Prabhupada actually mentions that if you love your family members truly, then you must become a devotee of the Lord. Remember the Lord, chant His holy name, be always in the association of the devotees, and just by becoming a pure devotee, you can do the utmost benefit to your family members and your relatives. Not only in this lifetime, but in all the previous lifetimes. So having spoken this, Prahlada Maharaj then paid obeisances to the Lord. Brahmaji, Lord Shiva prayed beautiful prayers to the Lord Narasimhadev, and all the demigods, they offered their prayers and worship to the Lord, and then Lord Narasimhadev returned back home to his abode. And then Lord Brahma and Shukracharya enthroned Prahlada Maharaj as the king of the Asuras. He coronated, and Prahlada Maharaj worshipped all the devotees present. And Narada Muni tells us in Bhagavatam that one who hears this narration with great attention, he will surely reach the spiritual world where there are no material existence. No material anxieties. So that is the benediction today from the great devotees and from the Lord to all of us. So we must sincerely pray and beg of the lotus feet of the Lord to kindly remove all the obstacles on our path of spiritual devotion to the Lord, and that we can excel more and more in His service. And I would just like to end with one more short story. When the Goswamis were discussing this pastime, now here we see that Prahlada Maharaj, because of his sincere devotion and constant remembrance of the Lord, he could actually see the Lord everywhere, at every time, in all circumstances. Sometimes we have a very difficult time in our life and we forget devotional service. It is lost in the cupboard. So we should be getting. Alright, just end with this story. Actually, it was Gopalabhad Goswami. What were the Goswamis? It was Narasimhadev's appearance day. And they were discussing this pastime. And Gopalabhad Goswami, when he heard this pastime, he got this kind of an urge in his heart that the Lord is everywhere and he can manifest himself from anything at any time. And just with this thought, he thought that maybe if I could also get a personal deity of the Lord to worship. Now, Gopal Rath Goswami had 14 shilas that he was worshipping every day, but he didn't have deity. And when he slept, the next day morning, astonishingly and shockingly, he saw that from his own Damodar Shila, the Lord manifested as Lord Radha Raman Devji. So tomorrow, it happens to be the Raman Devji's appearance day. So we can understand from these pastimes that it only requires sincere faith and devotion. That is all it requires. Thank you very, very much for tolerating me.
Shri Narasingadev Bhagavan ki, Bhakta Pralad Maharaj ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Ananda Goswami.